Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. Hey guys, so before we get into it today, I do have to say that my voice is not at peak level. I have been a little bit sick lately, but really wanted to get this episode out, so bear with me. Thanks so much. Imagine landing in one of the world's busiest cities, alone, jet-lagged, surrounded by strangers, and swallowed by the neon chaos of Hong Kong. It's November 2008. 31-year-old Ani Ashikian, a free-spirited traveler from Montreal, sends a quick birthday text to her niece, withdraws some cash from an ATM, and vanishes. No phone calls, no bank activity, no trace. Just a few seconds of CCTV footage. Ani, standing in a crowded terminal, looking calm, confident, completely unaware that this would be the last time anyone ever saw her alive. Within hours, she disappeared into a city of 7 million people, and not one of them seems to have noticed her go. Was it a robbery gone wrong? A scam that turned sinister? Or did Ani choose to disappear on her own terms? Her journal, found later in Canada, hints at secret plans. But the deeper you dig, the more the story begins to blur between freedom and fear. Today, we trace Ani's final hours through CCTV, financial transactions, and the back alleys of Hong Kong's Chongqing mansions, following her last known movements until the trail runs cold. Because when a traveler vanishes in plain sight, the mystery isn't just where they went, it's why. Hong Kong is a city of opposites, ancient and modern, polished and raw. It's one of the most densely populated places on Earth, where glass towers reach into the fog and whole lives unfold in the narrow shadows between them. It's a city built on movement. 7.5 million people packed into an area smaller than Los Angeles, with some of the most expensive real estate in the world. Hong Kong has the highest number of ultra-net-worth individuals of any city, the most skyscrapers anywhere on the planet, and one of the longest life expectancies on Earth. It's also, statistically, one of the safest cities in the world. In 2008, the year Ani vanished, there were only 36 murders in all of Hong Kong, and 5 of those were committed by the same person. The homicide rate was microscopic. Heavy policing, efficient systems, and the omnipresent surveillance made the city feel almost immune to the kind of random violence that makes headlines elsewhere. To put it in perspective, the city of Los Angeles had 380 homicides that same year. And yet, somewhere between those crowded streets and the blinding glow of its skyline, Ani Ashikian disappeared. She was last seen inside a building called Chongqing Mansions, a sprawling complex in the heart of Tim Sha Tsui. If you've never heard of it, picture this. 15 floors stacked on top of a two-story mall. Each corridor is narrow and dim, lined with curry houses, foreign exchange booths, cheap cell phone stalls, and budget guest houses, with names like the Happy Inn and the New Hawaii. It was built in 1961, and for decades it had a reputation. A maze where travelers and locals from every corner of the world intersected. Some stayed for a night, some for months. About 4,000 people lived there at any given time, and more than 10,000 passed through its halls every single day. You could buy almost anything there. A SIM card, a fake Rolex, a bowl of lentils, or a plane ticket almost anywhere. By 2008, Chongqing Mansions had cleaned up its image. Over 200 security cameras were installed. Police patrols were routine. The building wasn't dangerous anymore, at least not like it was in the 1980s or 90s. In fact, there hadn't been a single murder there for years. But its reputation for transience and anonymity remained. For Ani, stepping into that building might have meant nothing more than curiosity. She was a seasoned solo traveler who loved to explore. But it could also mark the point where her story quietly shifted from known to unknown. Hong Kong is not a place where people vanish easily. Every street corner has a camera. Every airport gate has a checkout. And yet, Ani Ashikian disappeared in one of the most watched cities on Earth. It's a paradox. The safest city in the world becomes the stage for one of the most haunting mysteries. And at the center of it all is that building, Chongqing Mansions, looming over Nathan Road like a concrete riddle, humming with life and secrets. If those walls could talk, maybe they'd tell us where Ani went after she stepped out into the neon night. But they don't. And almost two decades later, they're still silent. Ani Ashikian wasn't just another tourist swept up in that current. She was a woman who lived for adventure, who found meaning in motion, and who, by all accounts, glowed with life wherever she went. Before she became the subject of one of Hong Kong's most baffling disappearances, Ani was someone's daughter, someone's sister, someone's best friend. To understand what happened to her out there, in the noise of Beijing, the haze of Hong Kong, and the silence that followed, we need to understand who Ani was. Because before the mystery, before the headlines and theories and timelines, there was just Ani. Before Ani became the woman whose name would haunt internet forums and cold case blogs, she was just Ani, bright, adventurous, and endlessly curious about the world around her. Born on January 28, 1977, Ani grew up in Windsor, Ontario, the middle sister between Rosie, the steady, nurturing older one, and Saucy, the creative youngest spark. Her roots were Armenian and Lebanese, a blend that gave her a striking, versatile beauty, the kind that made her seem at home almost anywhere in the world. Even in photographs, she could look entirely different from one angle to the next, as if each captured version of Ani belonged to a different chapter of her life. By her early 30s, Ani had already built a life many would envy, and one that reflected both discipline and wanderlust. She was a paralegal, sharp and organized, with a real estate license tucked into her back pocket. But Ani wasn't the type to stay behind a desk for long. She had a deep, restless pulse, a love for movement, for discovery. When she wasn't traveling, she picked up part-time shifts in restaurants and bars, saving every extra dollar she could for her next escape abroad or to help fund condo renovations she shared with her boyfriend of 3 years, Wendell Walsh. Wendell worked in Kitchener, but Ani's life flowed between Toronto and wherever her next adventure called. Their relationship, by all accounts, was grounded in affection and independence. They both had their own rhythms. But travel? Well, that was Ani's heartbeat. By the time she turned 31, Ani had checked off one of her biggest life goals, to visit 30 countries by the age of 30. The Caribbean, Costa Rica, Europe, South America. Her passport was a tapestry of stamps and stories. And she was also an experienced solo traveler, confident in navigating new languages, landscapes, and cultures. Her family described her as sporty and spontaneous, someone who could decide on a whim to chase a waterfall trail or book a last-minute flight just to see what the world looked like from another hemisphere. She was the spontaneous one, the sister who couldn't sit still for long, who found joy in the unknown. Friends remember her as kind and generous, the first to help, the one who'd offer to carry your bag or buy you a drink, or just stay up all night listening. Ani loved to hike, read, and write in her journal. Pages filled with musings, itineraries, fragments of dreams. For her, travel wasn't just about seeing the world. It was about understanding herself within it. In the fall of 2008, Ani had just returned from Costa Rica, a warm, rejuvenating trip she'd taken with Wendell. But almost as soon as she unpacked her suitcase, she started planning another adventure. Two of her co-workers from the law firm were heading to China, and on a whim, Ani decided to join them. Her family was surprised, shocked even, because this wasn't her usual style. Ani was meticulous when it came to travel. She researched, she planned, she prepared. Yet somehow, within a single week, she packed her bags again. The plan was to explore China with her co-workers, then travel to India for a four-week yoga retreat while they continued on to Vietnam. After that, well, there were whispers, unconfirmed but intriguing, that Ani had been planning an even bigger leap. According to Wendell, she had a job lined up in Argentina and was thinking of relocating there after her trip. And whether that was a fleeting idea or something more concrete remains unclear. What is clear is that Ani was standing at a crossroads between the life she'd built and the next great adventure she was chasing. She was confident, self-sufficient, and deeply alive. A woman who moved through the world with intention, but also with trust. And that's what makes her disappearance so haunting. Because Ani Ashikian wasn't the kind of person who vanished easily. She was vivid, the kind of person who left traces wherever she went. Laughter, stories, footprints on mountain trails, postcards from faraway places. In November 2008, that vivid light went out somewhere in the neon sprawl of Hong Kong. And all that's left are questions. And the echo of the life she was living right up until the moment she disappeared. It was October 24th, 2008. On a crisp autumn day that felt full of promise. Ani, vibrant and adventurous, left behind her condo in Toronto, her paralegal role, her life of familiar routines, and stepped onto a plane bound for the Far East. Alongside two friends she had worked with, she departed from Toronto International Airport, her destination, Beijing, China. The plan, on paper, was simple. Beijing, then Cambodia and Vietnam for her friends, while Ani made her way to India for a yoga retreat. They landed on October 25th, and Beijing opened up for them. The ancient gateways, the swirling traffic, the hum of a city that straddles centuries. For 5 days, the trio explored together, by daylight and sometimes under moonlit skies. Among the snapshots from those days is one of Ani standing atop the colossal stone of the Great Wall of China, her face lit with joy, the wind tossing her hair, the echo of history stretching behind her. She looked every bit the seasoned traveler, radiating freedom. Then came the night of October 30th. The plates, the YWCA guest house in Beijing. A shared room, three friends tucked into one space, laughter and planning and camaraderie. But around 12:30 a.m., Ani quietly left the room. Her friends would later recall hearing her footsteps. And then nothing until the next morning when she returned. She took a bath, sipped some coffee, packed her bags, and checked out. No note, no farewell, no explanation. There had been no argument, no sign of conflict, just the subtle pull of something deeper. One of her friends noted she often wandered at night, exploring when the crowds had thinned. But this felt different. And what happens next remains one of the great unanswered stretches in Ani's journey. From October 30th until November 9th, the map blurs. Her email went dark after November 5th. Her bank transactions suggest she remained somewhere in China during those 9 days. Investigators believe she may have taken a roughly 13-hour train ride from Beijing to the historic city of Xi'an, a place of dynasties and ancient echoes. The reasoning? Well, there's no record of a flight, no car rental. But this, too, is a suggestion, not a confirmation. Then, November 9th, the itinerary changed without fanfare. Ani arrived in Hong Kong, and we know this through immigration records. Hong Kong in early November has mild air, less rain, and is an urban sprawl of neon and harbor lights with countless strangers passing in a fleeting alignment. Now, originally, her plan had been Beijing to India for a four-week yoga retreat, then home to Toronto. But in a twist, she landed in Hong Kong instead. The next day, she sent her sister a short text, birthday wishes for her niece. And that was the last known tether home. November 10th brings the final clear tracks. First, a confirmed sighting. Ani was seen in the labyrinth that is Chongqing Mansions in Tim Sa Choi, a towering block of 15 floors of guest rooms over a neon-lit mall, a hive of global travelers, vendors, transient guests. Inside, five interconnected blocks, 10 elevators, twisting stairwells, walls lined with electrical cables, graffiti in languages enough to map continents. It's a place of possibility, but it's also a place where someone could disappear. Later that night, or rather just after midnight, at 12:03 a.m. and again at 12:08 a.m., CCTV captured Ani at an ATM in the busy shopping district of Causeway Bay on Hong Kong Island. She withdrew roughly $470 in cash, Canadian, in two separate advances. But after that, there was only silence. No credit card use. No contact. Her sister noted that Ani always used her cards and stayed in touch while traveling. For someone with that record to vanish from all trace, it shook those who loved her. And that's where the path ends. There's no exit stamp for Ani's passport. No visa application for her planned retreat in India. No trace of her onward journey. And when the phone's silence stretched into days, her family's world shifted. It was November 2008, and Ani had been off the radar for weeks. The friends she'd traveled with in Beijing had lost contact. Her credit cards lay untouched, her inbox unchanged. Her family knew something was deeply wrong. By December 15th, when she was due to return to Canada, the silence had become something loud. Her family, her boyfriend, officials, they all realized something had gone terribly wrong. It was at this point that reports were filed, searches were launched. Almost immediately, her boyfriend, Wendell Walsh, flew to Hong Kong. He landed in the city Ani had drifted into, far from their Toronto condo. Far from the life they shared. Far from the plans they had. He arrived alone, but he brought hope and a desperate need to act. He reached out to local expats, volunteers, and concerned strangers. Printed flyers, posted photos, midnight stakeouts in places Ani spoke of visiting. Every clue mattered. Every whisper of someone seeing her held weight. A few months later, Ani's younger sister, Saucy, boarded a plane to Hong Kong as well. She stepped into the city her sister had vanished from, carrying family love, pain, and unanswered questions. One of her stops, the notorious Chongqing Mansions. She would later say, "It's not a place I would have visited." And yet, she knew Ani would have tried it. The place where budget travelers converge. Where neon buzzes, where anonymity and possibility collide. The building's worn corridors, its maze of guest houses and stairwells, the murmur of many tongues overheard. It felt like where someone could slip silently out of sight. Now, by that point, Ani had been out of contact for about 2 months. Her friends and family had gone from concern to fear. Did she stop calling because she was lost? Because she didn't want to be found? Or because something had happened that she could not escape. Now, in the weeks that followed, the search became a rhythm of travel and advocacy. Family and friends shuttled between Hong Kong and Canada, fundraisers in Ontario to pay private investigators, flyers posted in Kowloon, interviews with media, Facebook pages with thousands of followers. In Windsor, a fundraiser was held at the Armenian Community Center. Hundreds of people attended, dropping donations to help pay for a private investigator to look for Ani in Hong Kong. In Toronto, news outlets carried the story. Frantic family gets high-powered help in search for sister missing in Hong Kong. But despite the effort, the trail remained frustratingly thin. There were no confirmed records of Ani ever leaving Hong Kong. Her passport did not show an exit stamp. her bank and credit cards had not been used since that last known withdrawal. She was supposed to have a visa for India to attend a yoga retreat, and rumors that she'd lined up a job in Argentina. Yet no visa applications or travel records supported those plans. The missing pieces grew heavier and heavier. Unconfirmed sightings flickered all throughout Hong Kong. One December report involved a British student in Causeway Bay who said a woman matching Ani's description asked for directions to an IKEA. But none of these sightings passed verification. Meanwhile, the official search efforts advanced slowly. On December 24, 2008, the Hong Kong police issued a public appeal. They named Ani, provided her description, and asked for information. Her family clung to hope. Her brother-in-law, her sister, her friends. They all held onto the belief that one small clue could bring her home. As one news article put it, "We just want her safe. We just want her to call home. That's it." And yet, the places searched multiplied. The maps got crowded with possibilities. Chung King Mansion's shadowy corridors, the bright bustle of Causeway Bay, stairwells where the hum of the city seems distant. The longer the silence lasted, the more each question reverberated. Why did she leave Beijing so unannounced? Why did her route divert to Hong Kong instead of India? Why those cash withdrawals at midnight? And most of all, what happened to Ani in the hours that followed? Her disappearance is not just a missing person file. It's the unraveling of a journey. A woman who loved to travel, who embraced spontaneity and kindness, whose bags have never been found, whose last moments were in a city of millions, and yet in solitude. That was the search, the family search, the volunteer search, the city search. They all converge on one point, to bring Ani home, or at least bring her story into the light. But as the investigation continued, it shifted from where she was to why she was gone. Police, family, journalists, and a British private investigator all started asking the impossible question. How does a 31-year-old woman, bright, capable, experienced, just vanish into one of the most surveilled cities in the world? Was Ani running from something or to something? Had something gone terribly wrong? Or had she found a way to slip beyond the reach of everyone who loved her? Because when her family handed over her journal, the search for Ani took a darker turn, one that raised as many questions as it tried to answer. Because inside that journal were clues that changed everything. By the time investigators began reading Ani Ashikian's journal, the search had already gone cold. But the words she left behind, private thoughts scrawled in looping handwriting, opened a new layer to her story. Inside were entries that felt off. Her family said she'd been acting bizarrely before her trip, and that her writing reflected deep restlessness, maybe confusion. Some wondered if she was spiraling into depression. Others feared the onset of schizophrenia. And then there was something else. Something that changed the direction of the investigation. Her journal suggested that Ani might have planned to disappear. That this entire trip, Beijing, Xi'an, Hong Kong, that it wasn't just a vacation, but an exit strategy. Could Ani have wanted to start over? Her family discovered she had emptied at least one of her bank accounts. There were vague references in her journal to a new life in Argentina. And the private investigator, Guy Shira, a former Hong Kong police officer who took the case, believed she may have been preparing to walk away from everything. In interviews, Guy Shira told reporters that the evidence suggested she was considering dropping off the grid entirely. He pointed out that Ani spoke Portuguese, oddly, since Argentina is a Spanish-speaking country. But nearby Macau, a ferry ride from Hong Kong, is a former Portuguese colony. Perhaps, he speculated, she traveled there by boat under a new name, her destination masked by language and circumstance. And maybe she planned even further ahead. Now, Argentina had been on her radar for months. According to her boyfriend, she supposedly had a job lined up there. If true, it meant she'd already been imagining a new life thousands of miles from home. A reinvention, far beyond the reach of friends, family, or even her past self. But here's the problem with that theory. Hong Kong is not an easy place to disappear from. Immigration control is strict. The borders, especially post-1997, are tightly monitored. If Ani left by air, sea, or land under her own passport, there would be a record. But there isn't. Now, if she left under another identity, there's no evidence of it. Could she have escaped by ferry to Macau? Possibly. Boats leave every hour, and it's not impossible for someone to slip through without being officially logged, especially if they're being helped by locals. Macau is known for its casinos, transient tourists, and pockets of underground activity where cash still trades hands. It's a place where a stranger could dissolve into the noise. Still, even the private investigator admitted it would be extraordinarily difficult for her to vanish from Hong Kong without coming to anyone's attention. If Ani truly wanted to start over, the question remains, why there and why then? She was loved, stable, and successful. She had a home, a partner, and dreams in motion. Those dreams didn't look like the kind that end with a disappearance. Then there's the mental health crisis theory. Her friends and family described her as spontaneous, even impulsive. But her recent behavior, leaving Canada so suddenly, abandoning her companions in Beijing without warning, withdrawing cash in the middle of the night, suggests she might have been in a fragile state of mind. Some believe Ani was suffering from the early stages of a psychological break, perhaps mania or schizophrenia, something that had just begun to unravel during her trip. And if this were true, it could explain the erratic travel pattern, and then the sudden detour to Hong Kong, the large stretches of no contact, the unexplained gap between Beijing and her arrival on the island. Her journal reflected confusion, conflicting desires, and moments of self-doubt. Maybe she wasn't planning to disappear, but instead became overwhelmed, disoriented in a foreign city, unable to reach out. Hong Kong, with its constant hum, can swallow anyone who's alone. And for someone in distress, it's easy to get lost in the crowd, especially around Tim Sha Tsui or Causeway Bay, where thousands of travelers blur past each other every night. If Ani was struggling mentally, she could have become vulnerable, drawn into unsafe situations, or simply wandered away, her sense of direction dissolving. Now, there are tragic precedents of travelers suffering breakdowns abroad and slipping through the cracks of massive cities. But then, there's a darker possibility, that Ani didn't vanish by choice. Her last confirmed sightings, Chongqing Mansions and Causeway Bay, are locations that both intrigue and unsettle investigators. Chongqing Mansions is infamous, a decaying high-rise of cheap guest houses, currency exchanges, shops run by migrants. And police describe it as not dangerous. But everyone knows it's a place where people could disappear. If Ani had stayed there, even for one night, she might have crossed paths with anyone. A thief, a trafficker, a stranger offering to help. Now, could she have been robbed and killed? Possibly. She withdrew nearly 3,000 Hong Kong dollars just hours before she vanished. Her cards were never used again. But in a city that safe, where opportunistic crime is rare, it's also not impossible. Now, could she have been kidnapped or trafficked? Some have floated that idea. But human trafficking usually preys on people seeking work or citizenship. Those easier to exploit. And Ani didn't fit that profile. Now others wonder whether she stumbled onto something more complex. Organized crime, smuggling, espionage. Hong Kong and Macau have long histories as crossroads of intelligence networks and underground economies. Ani spoke multiple languages, had dual interests in law and real estate, and traveled alone. Some online sleuths have speculated she might have been coerced or used as a courier or mule without even realizing it. That theory remains far-fetched. But in a mystery with no physical evidence, even the improbable becomes tempting. Perhaps the simplest explanation is the most tragic: that Ani suffered an accident. Hong Kong's geography is deceptive. Dense urban streets lead to steep forested hills, cliffside trails, and sudden drop-offs. It's not impossible she went hiking, exploring, or wandering by the water. I mean, accidents happen, especially to solo travelers. And yet, despite exhaustive searches by local volunteers and police, no remains, belongings, or trace of Ani were ever found. No clothing, no bag, no passport. Just nothing. And one of the most persistent speculations is that Ani left Hong Kong by water. Boats and ferries crisscrossed the South China Sea all day and night. She could have boarded a vessel to Macau, Shenzhen, or even further, to the Philippines or beyond. If she wanted to vanish, the sea could be anonymous. And if she was in trouble, the sea offered risk. Now, in either case, that route fits both the voluntary and accidental disappearance narratives. But again, no records, no CCTV, no confirmed witnesses. We do know the ocean keeps its secrets. No matter the theory, voluntary, accidental, criminal, or psychological, one truth endures. Ani Ashikian's family still waits. Her sisters, Rosie and Zasi, returned to Hong Kong multiple times to search. They combed the Chongqing mansions, distributed flyers, interviewed locals, and pleaded with police. Her boyfriend joined expats and volunteers, posting missing person notices across the city. Each led to nowhere. Her passport never resurfaced. Her bank accounts remain untouched. Her voice fell silent after the one text on November 9th. Now, if she truly chose to disappear, she's done it almost flawlessly. A feat that few people could pull off in a city as tracked and crowded as Hong Kong. And if she didn't, then her story sits at the crossroads of tragedy and mystery. Some still hold hope. Others believe the answers lie at the bottom of the South China Sea. But every theory leads back to that image. Ani, smiling on the Great Wall, the wind in her hair, the future wide open. And just weeks later, she was gone. Hong Kong is a city that pulses with life. It's chaotic, beautiful, and unlike anywhere else on Earth. And it's also one of the safest cities in the world, especially for solo travelers. Violent crime is rare. The streets are busy, brightly lit, and well-patrolled. But even in a place as safe as Hong Kong, Ani Ashikian's story reminds us that no destination is completely without risk. If you're traveling to Hong Kong or anywhere abroad, here are a few things worth remembering. First, always share your itinerary with someone you trust. Ani was spontaneous. She loved adventure. But when she left Beijing, even her closest friends didn't know where she was headed next. Now, it's easy to think, I'll message later. But in moments like these, later can matter. Second, keep copies of your travel documents, your passport, ID, flight info, hotel bookings, on both digital and paper. Store them separately from your valuables. If something goes wrong, those documents can become your lifeline. Third, be mindful of where you stay. Hong Kong has thousands of guest houses and hostels, many of them perfectly safe. But some, like the Chongqing Mansions, are just small rooms, shifting tenants, and overlapping businesses. They are fascinating places to explore, but not ideal for staying alone, especially if no one knows your location. If you do choose budget accommodations, check reviews carefully. Keep your door locked. And make sure someone knows where you're staying each night. Fourth, avoid withdrawing large amounts of cash late at night or in isolated areas. Ani's final confirmed sighting was at an ATM around midnight in Causeway Bay, one of the busiest parts of the city. Late night hours can attract unwanted attention. And finally, trust your instincts. If something feels off, it probably is. Step back, change your route, tell someone, even if it feels overly cautious. Hong Kong remains one of the safest and most captivating places to explore. The skyline, the harbor, the night markets, they all remind you how alive the world can be. But safety doesn't come from statistics. It comes from awareness, connection, and letting the people who love you know where you are. Ani was an experienced traveler, a woman who'd seen the world and felt comfortable in it. Her story doesn't mean you should stop exploring. It means you should explore smarter. Because when we travel, we're not just seeing new places. We're leaving traces of ourselves behind. And the people who care about us deserve to know where those traces lead. So wherever you go, check in, share your plans, and keep yourself safe. Because disappearing should never be part of the adventure. More than 15 years have passed since Ani Ashikian disappeared in Hong Kong. And yet, her story still echoes. She was just 31 years old. 5 feet 4 inches, about 120 pounds, with a slim, athletic build. She had long brown hair, sometimes worn curly, sometimes straight, brown eyes, and a medium complexion that reflected her Armenian and Lebanese roots. The last time anyone saw her, she was carrying a black and blue backpack, wearing a white t-shirt and a gray sweatshirt. She also has a tattoo on her bikini line and front left hip. A small, intimate mark that her family still prays will one day help bring her home. Ani loved to travel, to explore, to connect. She was brave, open-hearted, spontaneous. A woman who saw the world as something meant to be experienced, not feared. And that's what makes her disappearance so haunting. Because if someone like Ani could vanish, someone smart, capable, and full of life, then maybe what's truly unsettling isn't just how she disappeared, but why no one has found her. Maybe someone out there still knows something. A face remembered, a conversation overheard, a fleeting moment from November 2008 that didn't seem important at the time, but might be now. If you have any information about the disappearance of Ani Ashikian, please contact the Regional Missing Persons Unit of Hong Kong Island at 852-3660-1040. Because even after all these years, her family hasn't stopped searching. And somewhere out there, the answers are waiting to be found. Ani was more than a mystery. She was a daughter, a sister, a friend. And she deserves to be found. And finally, please remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod, and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.